Iran's foreign minister says Tehran will take steps to hold those behind Israel's war crimes in Gaza accountable before international tribunals. And Hezbollah says it's carried out 10 intensive operations against Israeli military sites in retaliation for the deliberate targeting and killing of al-Mayadeen journalists. Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to World News. Our top story, Israeli massacre on Palestinians in Gaza continues, the onslaught being now entering its 47th day. At least 15 people were killed in an Israeli strike on a residential building in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. Regime's military also carried out a fresh deadly attack on the Nusayrat and Jabalia refugee camps. Hospitals have not been spared either. Health officials in Gaza say Israeli bombed operating room in the Indonesian hospital, and the bodies of over 60 people remain in the hospital's courtyard. Reports also suggest attacks against the Indonesian hospital have claimed the lives of medical staff as well. Al-Shifa Hospital, which recently was the scene of an Israeli massacre, still under the regime's brutal siege and bombardment.
They are bombing all around the hospital, and they are digging in many areas within the hospital. Question part. It's again that you feel are in a war area with a lot of tanks, a lot of troops all over the time. What's happening now that they are totally very, very aggressive with the medical staff here, and they keep pushing us hardly and arresting us, each one of us, for a few hours.
Health Ministry in Gaza says Israel is carrying out retaliatory operations against hospitals to displace the population. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization said one of its employees had been killed in Gaza alongside her six-month-old baby, husband, and two brothers. French medical charity Doctors Without Borders also said three doctors, including two of its own, were killed in a strike on Al-Auda Hospital in northern Gaza. The group said it's horrified by the incident. Israel launched a genocidal war on Gaza back on the 7th of October, and since then, regimes killed more than 14,000 people, most of them women and children. The United Nations Children's Agency says the situation of minors across the besieged Gaza Strip is catastrophic amid Israel's relentless attacks. UNICEF said November the 20th was a sad day for kids in Gaza as the world marked Children's Day. According to the UN body, the Israeli war on Gaza has displaced over 800,000 children and forced them to live in harsh conditions in overcrowded shelters. UNICEF said that many diseases have spread among children in Gaza due to malnutrition and lack of clean water.
If children's access to water and sanitation in Gaza continues to be restricted and insufficient, we will see a tragic yet entirely avoidable surge in the number of children dying. It's also important to note it's starting to rain in Gaza. Now, combined, children face a serious threat of mass disease outbreak.
UNICEF official also warned lack of fuel will lead to the collapse of sanitation facilities in Gaza. He made the remarks at a Geneva press briefing. Speaking at the same meeting, the World Health Organization touched upon the plight of patients at medical facilities in Gaza, which have not been immune from Israeli strikes.
So we're looking at three hospitals right now in the north that asked to be evacuated. But again, the important point is where to. There's no safe space. There are the only places they can go to right now are non-specialized hospitals in the south, non-specialized hospitals that are overcrowded already, that are struggling to take care of those who are already there with no water, no food, no electricity. And that's a situation all over Gaza. Let's not forget that. We're talking about a hospital of high attention right now, Al-Shifa. But Al-Shifa is Gaza, and Gaza is Al-Shifa right now. The situation there is the same everywhere, and people are safe nowhere.
WHO spokesman said it's, quote, dire situation in Gaza hospitals. He said over 30% of deaths and injuries take place in the south of Gaza, which Israel claims to call a safe zone amid its continued bombing. U.S. media reports say Israel has targeted humanitarian aid groups in its genocidal war on Gaza, despite the fact it had their location information. Report released by Politico said regime had a GPS coordinates of medical facilities in Gaza, as well as information on the movement of aid groups. Israel, however, continues to attack positions of aid groups near hospitals, leading to the destruction of buildings and the blocking of fuel and other critical supplies into the territory. Humanitarian groups have said time and again Israel's war on Gaza has made it impossible for them to continue providing health care to patients, especially premature babies. Since beginning the war on the 7th of October, hospitals and aid groups have been among the regime's main targets, leading to the killing of hundreds of medical staff. The Palestinian movement Hamas says the ball is in Israel's court over a captive exchange deal.
I believe we are in a decisive phase now in this regard, and we are very hopeful, God willing, that this truce, this temporary truce, which stipulates a stop to the aggression for days and allowing aid to enter to our people and to further send more aid, and it includes a swap of civilians, women and children, exchange of women and children in the prisons of the occupation. If the occupation wants to kill and continue to spill blood, it could put many, many hurdles. And the next few hours will reveal this.
Khalid Al-Hayya, member of the Hamas Politburo, said that Hamas has given its response on a ceasefire proposal to Qatar and Egypt, now waiting on the Israeli regime's response. He said Israel has had no military achievements and its horrible atrocities have not changed anything on the battlefield. The Hamas official said resistance is confident it can defeat Israeli troops.
Person Netanyahu and his army will not be able to make any achievement, won't be able to achieve any of their goals, and will not be able to make any military achievements, God willing. The only thing they know how to do is to kill. They only know how to destroy. They only know destruction, terrorism and aggressions, and they are destroying all forms of life in Gaza. We, despite the difficulty of the aggression, despite the magnitude of the challenges, we are confident in the God, in the victory being granted us by God, and confident in inflicting defeat on the enemy. The only option we have is victory with God's help.
Elsewhere in his remarks, Al-Hayya denied Israeli allegations group use hospitals like Al-Shifa as part of their operations. He said Israel is fabricating stories as part of a plan to displace Gazans. He said people in Gaza are holding their ground and will not be leaving their land. Iran's foreign minister says that the Islamic Republic will continue to bring perpetrators and masterminds of crimes that Israel is committing in Gaza to international tribunals even after the war is over. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said Israel has committed genocide and war crimes in Gaza to take revenge on Palestinian civilians in the face of its failure to confront the resistance groups. Top Iranian diplomat denounced Washington's unwavering support for the regime. He said Israel and the U.S. have had no military achievements since October 7th. He also referred to plots devised by Washington and Tel Aviv for post-war Gaza. The Iranian minister said the Palestinian people are the ones who need to determine their own fate. Amir Abdullahian said holding a referendum with the participation of all the people of Palestine is the only solution to this crisis. Diplomatic pressure mounts on Israel over its war crimes in Gaza. South African lawmakers have passed a motion calling for the closure of the regime's embassy in the capital, Pretoria. 248 members of parliament voted in favor of the resolution, which demands suspension of all diplomatic relations with Israel until a ceasefire is agreed. Motion was brought by the party, the Economic Freedom Fighters, last week. It now awaits implementation by President Cyril Ramaphosa's government, which has already accused the Israeli regime of genocide in Gaza.
The collective punishment of Palestinian civilians through the unlawful use of force by Israel is a war crime. The deliberate denial of medicine, fuel, food, and water to the residents of Gaza is tantamount to genocide.
Ramaphosa made the remarks during an extraordinary meeting of BRICS group of major emerging economies. This comes as more countries are severing ties with Israel in response to its genocide. Turkey, Jordan, Honduras, Colombia, Chile, and Bahrain have all recalled their diplomats from Israel. Bolivia took it a step further and severed its ties with Tel Aviv. The Hamas representative office in Tehran has commemorated Ahmad Baer, the vice speaker of the Palestinian Legislative Council, who was killed during Israeli assaults on Gaza. Salman Kujuri reports.
The ceremony has been held at the representative office of Hamas movement in Tehran to commemorate Ahmad Baer, the vice speaker of the Palestinian Legislative Council and a member of the Hamas movement, who was martyred during Israeli attacks in the Gaza Strip. The ceremony was attended by Hamas representative in Tehran, Khaled Qadoumi. A number of Iranian military and state officials, including members of the Iranian parliament, were also present at the ceremony.
The martyr, Sayyid Ahmad Baer, he's an iconic struggling figure in Palestine, and he is a statue at the level of the importance of Palestinian issue. He was one of the brothers and fellows of Sheikh Ahmad Yassin, the founder of the Hamas movement, and he used to be a straightforward, a state man, and he is a transparent fellow when he is to address the Palestinian issue. He used always to address it in a very solid, bold, and straightforward fellow.
Martyr Ahmad Baer was a great personality who stood against the Israeli aggressions until his last moment of life and did not flee his homeland. What Israel has done in the occupied lands has proved to the world that it is an aggressive regime which is just killing children and women in order to protect itself. But we warn Israel that we will sue the case at international courts and will bring the main perpetrators to justice. With all these ongoing Israeli atrocities, Israel will definitely be the main loser of the war and will collapse.
Since October 7th, Israel has bombed much of Gaza to rubble, ordered the depopulation of the entire northern half of the strip, and made around two-thirds of Gazans homeless. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said Israeli attacks had destroyed or damaged at least 45% of Gaza's housing units.
The resistance of Palestinians, especially resistance forces against the Israeli occupying regime, was a big slap in the face of the Zionist regime. The brutalities of the Israeli forces show that they have no other option but to kill children and women because they cannot stand against resistance forces. This is the beginning of the collapse of the Zionist regime, and because of its atrocities in the Gaza Strip, this regime has been hated and detested by world people more than ever before.
International officials say a humanitarian crisis for the 2.3 million residents of Gaza is entering a new, more dire phase as the Israeli war continues. Palestinian Resistance Front says despite all Israeli atrocities in the occupied lands, resistance will continue until the full liberation of Palestine from the clutches of the Israeli regime. Salman Kujuri, Tehran.
The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says it's carried out 10 successful strikes against Israeli military targets. In separate statements, Hezbollah said its guided missile struck a target affiliated with Israeli military intelligence, known as Military Assembly, near the Manara settlement. Beit Halal military base and a contingent of Israeli soldiers hiding in the Avivim settlement also came under attack. Lebanese resistance movement says the intense strikes were in response to Israel's deliberate targeting of a media team at Lebanon's television channel Al-Mayadeen in southern Lebanon earlier in the day. Al-Mayadeen correspondent Farah Omar, cameraman Robbie Memari, and contributor to the TV channel were all killed in the Israeli strike. The regime has a long history of attacks on news networks and media personnel. European Union foreign policy chief says the bloc is facing growing animosity across the Muslim world and beyond over its pro-Israel stance in the war on Gaza. Josep Borrell said the EU needs to show more empathy for the loss of Palestinian civilian life. He warned such ill feelings could undermine the EU's diplomatic support for Ukraine. He made the comments after a five-day trip to several countries in West Asia. Borrell said during the trip, many Arab activists criticized the 27-nation bloc for double standards over the Israeli war on Gaza. World-renowned Dr. Mads Gilbert is on a tour of South Africa to raise awareness about the plight of Palestinians. This as the Israeli regime continues to target hospitals in the besieged enclave, causing the deaths of scores of Palestinian patients and doctors. Hassan Syria reports.
He should have been in Gaza saving lives, but the occupying regime has imposed a 10-year ban preventing him from entering the strip. Dr. Mads Gilbert, the world-renowned Norwegian anesthesiologist, is bent on doing his best to help the Palestinians. So he's now trying to raise public awareness of the plight of the Palestinian people and the heroic efforts by medics to save lives there.
The Palestinian healthcare workers, they are the heroes. They are the heroes.
Dr. Gilbert has worked in Palestine and Lebanon for over 40 years. Having witnessed the attacks Israel carries out, he notes Israel deliberately attacks children in the strip.
But this is what man-made injury and man-made pain and man-made evil looks like. When you shoot off the legs of a whole young population, you shoot off the arms, you do it for one reason, not to defend yourself, but to tell the occupied, this is what's going to happen to you if you pick up anything to try to confront us. A stone, a tire, a gun, whatever, we will do this to you.
The assault on the medical facilities is therefore very much part of the sinister plot to eliminate Palestinian resistance.
The level of medicine that is practiced in Gaza, it's superb. It's at and above the level that I have in my university hospital. But they have been strangulated for 16 years of siege. They have been denied supplies, spare parts, new instruments, trolleys, just to repair what they have because of the siege. Because the occupier, they do not want the Palestinians to have anything close to.
Joining doctors and medical workers here, Dr. Gilbert noted that Israel's war crimes on hospitals will continue, especially because of the impunity under which it acts with the full cover of the West. Outside the world-famous Red Cross Children's Hospital here, Dr. Gilbert handed out roses in memory of Palestinian children massacred by Israel. While he's barred by the Zionist regime from saving lives in Gaza, he's trying to spread the message of resistance thousands of kilometers away, at the tip of Africa. Hassan Siriap, Cape Town.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
in the limelight.
Before the Israeli war, 70% of Palestinian children in the Gaza Strip already suffered from varying health issues, including malnutrition, anemia, and a weakened immune system. But that figure has now increased to more than 90% as a result of Israel's brutal war on Gaza. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Monitor has covered this story and tells us more. A senior Hamas official has said the Israeli regime is waging a war of starvation on the Palestinians of the Gaza Strip, stressing that closure of crossings to the besieged territory has worsened the food crisis in Gaza, and the few aid convoys that enter the enclave cannot meet public demand. Osama Hamdan, a member of the Palestinian Resistance Movement's political bureau, said at a press briefing in Beirut, Lebanon, on Saturday, 18th of November, he said, "The Zionist enemy has adopted the policy of starvation against children and ordinary people in Gaza. The food convoys that have entered Gaza meet only 10% of public demand." Osama Hamdan added, "Mass killing of people, starvation and bombardment of hospitals are all meant to drive our compatriots out of northern Gaza. International Muslim and Arab institutions must fulfill their responsibilities with regards to the stoppage of invaders' crimes. Silence and inaction will push the situation towards further chaos and disorder." Osama Hamdan said the Palestinian resistance groups have pledged not to back down from realization of their nation's ideals, the most significant of which are liberation of the occupied territories and gaining full sovereignty over those territories. The senior Hamas official noted, "We will be a strong barrier against the plans of the invaders. Displacement will not be a matter of concern anymore, but rather liberation of our land and return of Palestinians to their homeland. We will deal a fatal blow to the invaders, and the entire world will soon hear the news of our victory." Osama Hamdan went on to point out the high number of casualties among the Israeli military. He said, "The Ezzedine al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of the Palestinian Hamas movement, has inflicted heavy blows against the Zionist enemy." Further remarks, Osama Hamdan said, "The Zionist enemy is committing crimes against Palestinians of Gaza round the clock. The enemy perpetrates crimes in areas that it claims to be safe. 43% of victims used to be residents of southern Gaza. The occupiers do not differentiate between residents of northern and southern Gaza." He said, "The Israeli regime has attacked the most sacred job in the world by bombing hospitals." The Hamas official added, "Murders and crimes in Gaza have affected people from all walks of life, including aid workers, medical staff, and what happened in Shifa Hospital falls within the framework of crimes being committed by the occupying regime." He said the invaders took away the bodies of a number of martyrs from inside the hospital to an undisclosed location. Osama Hamdan said the Israeli military, by means of false allegations, have turned Al-Shifa Hospital into a military barracks. Hamdan added, "We hold the Biden administration responsible for the raid on Al-Shifa Hospital and view it as a direct accomplice of Israeli crimes. If it were not for sake of President Joe Biden and his administration, the silence of international community, such crimes would never have been committed by the Israeli regime in Gaza." Osama Hamdan finally called for continuation of pro-Palestinian demonstrations all around the world. Humanitarian agencies say since Israel imposed a total blockade and siege on Gaza on 7th of October, Aid convoys have barely trickled through, meaning they can provide only a drop in the ocean of what Gaza's 2.3 million population would require. According to the advocacy group Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor, the Israeli regime has sharply escalated a war of starvation against the civilian population of the Gaza Strip. CNN Cable News Network has also covered the same story. A United Nations organization that provides food assistance has warned people in Gaza are facing an immediate possibility of starvation as fuel shortages cripple food production and distribution in the enclave. The United Nations World Food Programme, WFP's executive director, Cindy McCain, said, in a statement on Thursday, 16th of November, she said, supplies of food and water are practically non-existent in Gaza, and only a fraction of what is needed is arriving through the borders. According to the World Food Programme, only 10% of necessary food supplies has entered Gaza Strip since the start of the war, with fuel shortages severely impacting bread production as well as the distribution of essential humanitarian aid, with aid trucks unable to reach their destinations. Meanwhile, Cindy McCain said, the only hope is opening another safe passage for humanitarian access to bring life-saving food into Gaza. Bread is scarce or non-existent in Gaza as fuel shortages have triggered a crippling halt in bread production across the territory. Of the 1,129 trucks that have entered Gaza via the Rafah border crossing with Egypt, only 447 were carrying food supplies. Only 25% of shops contacted by the World Food Programme remain open in Gaza. Others are out of essential food items. The United Nations agency, the World Food Programme, reports the small quantities of food that can be found are being sold at alarmingly inflated prices and are of little use without the ability to cook, forcing some to survive on one meal a day. The World Food Programme says it has provided emergency food assistance to more than 700,000 displaced people in Gaza. It expects to reach more than 1 million people over the next few weeks. The Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. The United Nations World Food Programme, WFP, renewed its call for sustained humanitarian access to Gaza as stocks inside the besieged coastal enclave run out. Corinne Fleischer, the World Food Programme's regional director for West Asia and North Africa, said, "Every day that passes pushes more and more people closer to starvation." The World Food Programme has food for 244,000 people close to the border with Gaza. The United Nations agency said more supplies are arriving in northeastern Egypt, where an assistance hub is being set up. Samer Abdeljaber, the World Food Programme's country director in Palestine, said, "Heart-wrenchingly, hundreds of people are queuing for hours every day to get bread rations at bakeries across Gaza, while food is there, ready for distribution, just across the border in Egypt." Recently, the head of UNRWA, the United Nations relief agency that works in the Gaza Strip, Philip Lazzarini, warned that people of Gaza are being choked by the continuous bombardment of their territory. Philip Lazzarini said, "The continuous bombardment of Gaza, together with the siege, are choking Gaza and its people." He continued that more than 700,000 women, children and men now live in UNRWA schools and shelters. Philip Lazzarini added, "Basic services are crumbling in Gaza. Everything is running out, food, water, medicine and fuel." Lazzarini said Gazans feel dehumanized and abandoned by the world. He added, we must increase the volume of aid and use other crossings, including those with the occupied Palestinian territories like the Kerem Abu Salem crossing.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You are listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. I'm Atal, the host of this program. This series of Viewpoints is concerned with the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadiq. Sheikh Sadiq, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, very happy to be with you.
You're welcome, brother. And Sheikh Qasim, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the important concept of hope. In a very short speech by Imam Khamenei, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of Iran, this important topic has been tackled, that what is hope and what is the true meaning of hope. Nowadays, I have to again refer back to these very important situations that we are living in during COVID-19. The people hope very much that the vaccination should be done, and that the true medicine to this coronavirus is found. These are all hopes. Or the doctors and the nurses all around the world can help us. This is the hope that the people have. This is one type of hope. The other type of hope that we are looking for is the divine one. The type of hope that has roots in the divinity. How do you define that, Sheikh Qasim, for us? I mean, what type of hope is that?
I believe that again have to be centralized on the way that we understand and we believe in the reality of this world and everything around us, which is a sort of tawhidi understanding of this world. So if you, whatever, you know, goes around us and the thing that we may have hope about in the world, they are all should be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And has to be sort of defined in the holistic worldview of us, a divine holistic understanding of the whole world, and this is, I think, what we need. So, and that's why, you know, for example, they call it the false hope sometimes.
Yeah.
That, for example, you put your hope and your into something. Yes. And you know, hope for something, and it doesn't happen, and you only get despaired and disappointed at
yes.
things. But if you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, and
yes.
you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind and with everything, actually,
yes.
you're not gonna get disappointed with not reaching what you had hoped
or what you have missed.
Yeah,
because all the things, as the ayahs of the Quran and the narration says, you know, are a type of trust in our hands, mm-hmm. which are one day going to be taken away, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
You know, and these transient things, even the family members, just look at how many people are dying, the dear ones, okay? I mean, the parents, the children nowadays. But still, one thing is permanent, and that is hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. Hope that the Hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present on the earth, and the hope that one day the last Savior will be present in the world and present to us a kind of justice system which is without any shortcoming. And this is the hope that all the people have. I think, Sheikh Sadiq, hope is the engine, I mean, that moves us around day by day from the early morning that we wake up until the night. This hope is inside us. Hope to this, hope to that. Help being helped, or help this one, or help that one. Is it so? What's your comment on that?
Yeah. When we're when we have a limited materialistic view, perspective on the world and on life, we say, okay, this is life, this time span between when I'm born and I'm going to die is life, the material world is life. And we know all the rules, we know the physics, we know the economics, we know everything, right? And these are my chances. Like, I have zero chances of being happy ever again. So we don't have any hope because of this limited way of looking at existence.
That's right.
But if we have that unknown element, the unseen world, if we have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that He's not bound by these rules, He's not bound by His creation, He can do anything, there's always a chance. Your chances are never zero.
That's right.
Right? There's no certainty.
Okay.
There's always that element of unknown in everything.
Yes.
We usually, when we hear hope, we think of someone who's drowning in problems and calamities.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a person who's wealthy and doesn't have any problems, you say, do you have hope? He says, what are you talking about? I'm living the life.
Yeah, the best life.
What's hope?
Yeah.
I don't need hope.
Yeah.
I'm living in heaven right now, right? But when someone has problems, we think of hope.
Oh.
Because we think they don't have any chances. But if you have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bound by the rules of this world and your problems, and even if this world doesn't go well for you, you have infinity, eternity in front of you after you die.
Usually we are the people of belief in good times.
Yeah, yeah.
When we have a good time, we have a happy life. Okay, Allah is great, Allah is good. When you're losing someone, losing something, okay, what's happening to me? We are losing hope, may Allah help us, you know, but the case is that sometimes we lose hope in Allah.
Because we don't know Allah, right?
Yeah.
We think He's an old man who has created us 6,000 years ago.
Okay.
And He's not here right now. He doesn't have any power. He can't do anything. We don't understand that He's always with us. He's here right now. He's giving us existence right now. He's giving us the power to speak, the power to hear and listen.
Right.
He's giving us existence, breath,
we take
heartbeat
for granted
at every moment.
Yeah, we take for granted, you know, the blessings and the, we can say, the provisions, the bounties that are around us given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. And how much do you think the hope in order for a savior to come can help the people around the world? I mean, because all the people inside, I think they have a type of hope that one day something big will happen, and the we can say oppressed people, the mazlumin, the mustazafin of the people, will be helped out. Okay, so this is the hope that this big generation army of the people who are day by day becoming poor, becoming more oppressed, have in the world. How much this type of hope is different from the types of hope you talked about, brother?
That's a very good question. I think there are two ways of looking at the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
One is, okay, we have problems. It's not going to be fixed. We can just wait for Him to come and fix everything, right? We shouldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's one type of looking at the Savior. And the other way of looking at it, the deeper way, is that, okay, if a Savior is going to come and fix this world, it's not going to be in the next world. It's not going to be in Qiyamah. He's going to come and fix this world. In this world, we're going to have security. We're going to have justice. We're going to have everything. We're going to have less problems, right? If that is the case, so it's possible. We can move towards it, right? It's not impossible in this world. We shouldn't just wait for another world where justice could happen, right? Yeah, true justice, complete justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be manifest in the Day of Judgment.
That's right.
That's why it's called the Day of Judgment.
Yes.
But here, We can get close to it. So even the idea, not just coming,
yes,
reappearance of Imam Zaman, but just the idea that it is possible to have justice in this world.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to happen someday.
Okay.
Gives us hope to aspire for it right now and try to make it happen even as little as possible right now.
Or prepare the ground, pave the way.
Yeah.
For the true hope that we come. Okay, what about you, Sheikh Qasim? What do you think? I mean, this hope in a savior, it has its own negative effects, I think, too. One of the negative effects is that, okay, one day a big man, I mean a great man, will come and will implement justice in the world. So what are we going to do?
Yeah. The passiveness.
Here's the final hope. And we become passive in our lives.
Yeah, that would be one of the side effects of, or probable side effects of believing in the, you know, the ultimate savior of the world.
Yes.
But I think that this also has been warned upon by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam as well, that your, you know, the waiting or the intidar that we have to practice in the occultation of the imam, it has to be a sort of active waiting and not a sort of passive one. So because we have this responsibility to prepare the ground and pave the way for him to come. Otherwise, he's not going to come. And this is what happened, you know, so far.
That's right.
So I believe that we have to be aware of this, notion of active intidar, active waiting on Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam, which is a sort of engagement in the, you know, in the process of preparing the way for his return, Imam's return. I want to take the opportunity here to actually to make a very important point, which is so actually crucial for us to, when it comes to such notions, you know, like the hope and those sessions that we had before, which is a tafakkur, or pondering upon these things. It's very important, you know. We've been talking about the other day about the, educating ourselves, and we talked about the ways that we can educate ourselves. I think this is another ingredient lacking from our lives, that we don't think about these things, The very reason that we're gathered here to talk about these things is that we sort of, push and encourage our listeners and ourselves before them to think about these things, to ponder upon these things. This is unfortunately what is lacking in many of our lives. Why? Because we are so much preoccupied with our daily lives, and those worldly affairs of ours, that we don't have the time to think, or we don't feel to think about, these things.
That's so right.
I just want to...
Even the radio show that we are doing now is a kind of preoccupation.
Yeah, and that's why, and that's why that the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, and before that, the Quran itself, emphasize on the importance of, thinking at tafakkur. And then we have these traditions that a person who think about, his religion and the situation he's in is more worth or worthier than a person who just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 70,000 years. A person, ibadatu sa'atin. So just 1 hour of thinking and pondering upon these very important things, worth of, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the long time. So I think the result that we can get from these discussions, the most important one, is that first of all, we have to think about these things.
Yes.
And we have to put aside the time and allocate the time for thinking about these things. And inshallah, we get to the best results.
Inshallah. And the hope for one final savior to come and help us with using our intellect and mind will be fruitful. Yeah. Thank you very much, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadiq, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. This is Viewpoints you're listening to. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en. You can download for free our previous episodes of this program. Till another episode, God be with you. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
China has announced that its Belt and Road Initiative BRI infrastructure project has generated $2 trillion in contracts, signaling the mega project's success and popularity around the world. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Global Times, the Belt and Road CEO Conference was held on October 17th, which is an opening event of the Third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation, BRF. With participation from over 80 countries and regions, including over 20 minister-level officials, more than 30 heads of foreign business associations, and nearly 60 representatives from Fortune Global 500 companies, the conference had over 1,200 attendees. The event has yielded remarkable achievements, whether it's the number of projects, the countries involved, or the contracted amount, they all exceeded the previous CEO conference. The conference issued the Belt and Road CEO Conference Beijing Declaration, emphasizing five key points: a commitment to open cooperation, deepening connectivity, promoting green development, advancing digital economic cooperation, and adhering to compliance and fulfilling social responsibilities. These points represent the consensus of entrepreneurs from various countries attending the conference. They not only reflect the representative spirit and principles of entrepreneurs in jointly building the Belt and Road Initiative BRI, but also provide a specific direction for future collective efforts. Against the backdrop of deliberate disruptions to the global industrial and supply chain systems, This declaration stands as a consensus statement from the global business community, demonstrating confidence in unity and cooperation and sending out a strong message of our time. The business community is a participant, contributor, and driving force in the BRI development. The enthusiasm of enterprises largely reflects the appeal and attraction of the BRI. The CEO Conference, as an innovative initiative of the second BRF in 2019, has provided a more vibrant platform for connecting and negotiating between Chinese and foreign enterprises. Recently, nearly 300 Chinese and foreign representatives signed agreements covering various fields such as infrastructure, clean energy, artificial intelligence, biomedicine, financial services, modern agriculture, and rail transportation. Enterprises will continue to play a crucial role in the BRI in the future. The BRI cooperation provides many entrepreneurs with opportunities and platforms to showcase their abilities. The Belt and Road CEO Conference called for more entrepreneurs to participate in the construction of this path of opportunities and prosperity, benefiting the world while achieving their own greater development. In addition to the Belt and Road CEO Conference, the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway officially began operations, marking Indonesia's entry into the era of high-speed rail. Chinese railway manufacturer CRRC Corp. also signed an agreement with Serbia's Transport and Infrastructure Ministry in Beijing to sell high-speed rail carriages to Serbia. The birth and implementation of these cooperative projects are inseparable from the nurturing of the BRI and the dedication of numerous enterprise builders. As Chinese President Xi Jinping emphasized when addressing a welcome banquet for guests attending the third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation, the achievements of Belt and Road Cooperation are neither a windfall nor made with others' almsgiving and charity, but are earned by governments and enterprises and the peoples of participating countries with their diligence, wisdom, and courage. Enterprises are the most active cells in the development of the BRI. As the BRI involves so many countries and faces different cultural customs, legal systems, and levels of development, the entrepreneurial spirit of building the Belt and Road must be open and inclusive. It is essential to respect local culture, abide by local laws and regulations, pursue win-win cooperation, and demonstrate a strong sense of social responsibility in serving the local people. At the same time, building the Belt and Road is also a process of extending economic globalization to a global scale. During this process, larger-scale world-class international enterprises will inevitably emerge or be created. Seizing the opportunity can lead to development and growth, and some enterprises may even achieve great accomplishments. Both enterprises and entrepreneurs need to have sufficient imagination to contribute to the success of the BRI. The BRI originated from China but belongs to the whole world. With the advancement of the high-quality construction of the BRI, more enterprises from participating countries as well as other countries have jointly constructed a more diverse and vibrant economic ecosystem for the Belt and Road. The foundation and the directions established for BRICO operation over the past decade have increased the confidence of the business community, and the potential that the BRI may create in the future has ignited the passion of visionary entrepreneurs. Although there may be obstacles ahead, it will undoubtedly witness the blooming of more flowers. China Daily also wrote in this regard, the Belt and Road Initiative, as it advances, will consistently yield substantial cooperation, investment and growth opportunities for businesses on a global scale. And that is what senior government officials and business executives have recently said. Speaking at the Belt and Road CEO Conference of the Third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation in Beijing, they said that through such collaboration, Chinese and foreign companies can enhance their research capabilities, embrace cutting-edge technology, and refine their application expertise. These activities can potentially reshape their growth trajectory and play a pivotal role in fostering sustainable economic development. Vice Premier He Lifeng said at the conference that China is willing to expand mutual market access with countries involved in the BRI, create more trade cooperation platforms, build up a diversified financing system, deepen production capacity cooperation, and expand two-way investment. The vice premier stressed that China encourages businesses from all participating countries to actively promote cooperation in areas such as big data, artificial intelligence, and new energy. This will drive the development of BRI toward a greener, healthier, and more intelligent direction.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel's brutal war on the Gaza Strip enters its 47th day as the death toll from the regime's genocidal war surpasses 14,000. The Hamas resistance